And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is foreign encounters. Each of my guests will describe something unusual or foreign that we're encountering today. My first guest is a currency trader in New York City. The U.S. dollar has been gaining strength because of the events that are unfolding in Japan. We analyze the currency flows of the yen back to Japan and speculate on what it might mean for the U.S. dollar and other world economies. My next guest has spent his entire life investigating unexplained mysteries, both in the United States and abroad. He's the host of the popular radio show Dr. Peter J. Shields' World of Unexplained Mysteries. We'll examine some of the world's greatest archaeological sites and discuss what influence, if any, aliens had on their construction. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Dr. Peter J. Shield, Ph.D., is an author, an adventurer, and an archaeologist. He's been described as one of the world's most fascinating men. He's been a television and a radio host. He's the former resident of Australia, the United Kingdom, plus 20 other countries. He has resided in the United States for over 17 years in total. Peter's work on excavations on the island of Malta with the Archaeological Department of Cambridge University following his military service in the British Air Force. In his senior years, Dr. Shields counts photography, golf, and the companionship of beautiful ladies among his hobbies. Peter now resides in Las Vegas and has just tied the knot with his partner number 7. Welcome to the show, Peter. How are you today?
Thank you, Billy. Wonderful to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you on board. And you've been described as a real-life Indiana Jones. So tell us, how'd you earn that reputation?
Well, after listening to your introduction, I'm dying to hear what I have to say.
Well, that's the whole idea of an introduction, but you've led a fascinating life. You're like that guy on the Dos Equis commercials, the most interesting man in the world. Tell us about your past. I mean, you've been an archaeologist, you've been in the British Air Force, you've been an AP journalist covering stories around the world. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, I'm in my 77th year. I'm in my Sunset Strip year. But I've enjoyed a remarkable life, and I've had a wonderful time traveling the world. My interest in archaeology started on the island of Malta, the tiny little island of Malta in the Mediterranean. The last thing I excavated from there was, of course, wife number 7, my lovely Rose, who is at my side. But prior to that, in the early 50s, I was Associated Press's photographer on the island. After I left the British Air Force, the military, I stayed on the island of Malta as Associated Press's correspondent there and was assigned to a guy called Dr. David Trump, who was head of archaeology at Cambridge University. My role at that time was to try and photograph all the artifacts that, in fact, were scattered into churches and buildings that were, in fact, the remnants of the knights, of course, that settled on the island of Malta. So I got involved with the excavation of the catacombs in a little city called Rabat in Malta, and that led to me returning to Cambridge to teach photography, would you believe, to archaeologists, and to a life investigating archaeological sites around the world.
No, it's fascinating because you're a blend. You're both a man of science, you're ex-military, and plus you have the artistic leanings of being a photographer as well. But as a man of science, as an ex-military, in both cases, you're really trained to be impartial and unbiased observer. And as a photojournalist, you sort of document things as you see them. So tell me, why as a man of science did you even ask the question, did extraterrestrials assist in the construction of archaeological sites around the world?
Well, again, Billy, it follows from the World of Unexplained Mysteries media life that I've spent for the last 40 years. Following my visit to Malta, I went to Australia. And in Australia, I got involved in radio and television. And because of my archaeological background, it was only natural that we focused on archaeological sites and archaeological mysteries around the world. And as an investigator, and certainly as a media investigator, you look mostly at the unexplained and the incongruities that exist within archaeological sites around the world. And I was blown away, as indeed are many archaeologists today, at the inexplicability of so much that exists out there today. I do a current lecture on Egypt and on the Sinai Peninsula here in Las Vegas, and it includes a trip, of course, to Egypt. I visited there as recently as last year, and standing on those blocks on the pyramid, which are over 2.5 tons each, if you look at the statistics, the number of people that were in existence at the time that the pyramids were built in that location, and the terrain at that time, you'll see that the construction of the pyramids by any conventional method that we could understand today is impossible. If those slaves, whoever they were able to raise 10 of those 2.5 blocks a day, it would have taken 6 generations, over 600 years, to construct just one pyramid. So you're forced to ask the question, was there a technology available at that time that we can't comprehend today? And certainly that's the conclusion of many archaeologists.
Well, and that conclusion is very logical, and I see how you've come to that conclusion, Peter. But my question is that there are some alternative theories out there, such as ramparts were built in order to move the stones up on rollers to get them there, or mud switchbacks around the exterior of the pyramids in order to facilitate moving those heavy, heavy blocks of stone up there, all of which are equally plausible to alien intervention.
Well, are they? Because let me make one other point to you. What type of wood exists on the desert? Have you any idea? Have you visited Egypt?
I have not, and it's a goal of mine to do that someday. But to answer your question, I do know that there's precious little wood in Africa in general.
Well, the only tree that's there is the palm tree. We have enough of those scattered around California and here in Nevada, where I now reside. If you lay a palm tree on its side and put a brick on top, it will immediately flatten. It's one of the softest woods that exist today. There is no way in the world you could roll a 2.5 ton block up the side of a mountain on palm trees. And there was no other timber available at the time.
Well, again, this goes into the area of the unexplained. Is it possible that other timber existed and then went into extinction because of its overuse building the pyramids?
Well, we have no record of that. There's no record of any other type of growth that existed then and doesn't exist today because it was used extensively. But if you move to situations like the Aztec slimes, of course, Machu Picchu, what am I doing? I'm going to the wrong continent, or not the wrong continent, but the wrong location. But if you look at the lines, the Nazca lines, they are absolutely remarkable and are only visible from outer space. Nobody to this day has come up with a logical explanation as to either A, how they were created, or B, why they were created.
Do you have any theories as to the second part of that question, Peter? Why were they created?
Absolutely not, and that's why they feature on my World of Unexplained Mysteries. I always laugh, Billy, because in doing my radio program and my television series, constantly I'm asked the question, you know, what is the answer to the Bermuda Triangle? What is the answer to the possibility of these crop circles being alien-produced? And the answer is very simple. If they're on my program, they're unexplained. And I honestly don't have a logical explanation. Now, of course, many of my colleagues are of the opinion that there very likely was alien intervention at that time. If you look at the carvings on the archaeological sites around the world, from Australia to the Mayan carvings, you'll see incredible likenesses to not only aliens but spacesuits and spacecraft. Which are quite inexplicable. I mean, we can make up all kinds of stories for them. I wear a little badge on my coat, which is a miniature aircraft. And people will say, oh, yes, well, that could easily be a butterfly, or it could have been an insect of some kind. What, with tail fins and rudders? I don't think so. But again, do I have a logical explanation? Absolutely not.
All right.
If we take, let me give you a rather quick and interesting little analogy. Einstein came up with the time dilation theory. Are you familiar with that, Billy?
No, I'm not. Explain it for my listeners, please.
Okay, basically what it is if you move something roughly at the speed of light, which at this stage in our progress we are unable yet to do, the process by which the body deteriorates slows down dramatically.
Okay.
Consequent result of that was, if you left Earth to fly to the nearest inhabited planet, which would be Alpha Centauri, of the three planets that make up Alpha Centauri, we believe planet B to have the ingredients necessary to sustain life. If you fly there at very close to the speed of light, it would take you approximately 65 years. 65 years within your lifetime to go there and to come back. During that period of time, because the actual process of your body slowing down meant that you had only deteriorated by some 65 years, over 20,000 years would have gone by back here on Earth. That would mean that if you made such a journey, by the time you got back here, there certainly wouldn't be anybody you knew living next door. Now, if we take that and reverse the situation, because if we believe that we want to get out there, we must also believe that if there is anyone else out there, they want to get here. If they had visited the Earth in the time of the Middle Kingdom or in any of our ancient historical locations, they would still, in fact, be on their return journey to their home planet. I'm absolutely blown away with the current television series, which, I've lost the name of it now.
Well, that's all right. Dealing
with aliens.
Dealing with aliens. All right. Well, we'll take it at face value, Peter. I don't know the name of that one as well. But we're talking to Peter J. Shield, everybody.
It's The Event.
The Event. Okay. Yes. Well, now, Peter, I want to ask you, I want to delve into this a little bit more deeply because I'm curious. Because throughout human history, whenever a superior race has entered into a less advanced civilization, the results have never been good. You know, the Spanish coming to the New World, the English coming to the New World, Westerners invading Hawaii, the British into Tasmania. And I think you'd agree if extraterrestrials came to Earth, they would be a more advanced civilization. So what makes us think that the presence of extraterrestrials wouldn't have had negative consequences, either intentional or unintentional negative consequences of their visit?
Well, if you look at places like Petra that were totally abandoned after a specific period of time, if you look at the Mayan civilization, which totally vanished at one particular point, and Machu Picchu, which is living evidence of incredible advanced technology, that literally confirms what you're suggesting, that perhaps it didn't do any good. But if they did exist here, if they did intermingle with us at that time, who's to say there are not descendants of theirs in existence today?
Well, it is an intriguing thought. Wouldn't medical science is as far advanced as we are with DNA testing, wouldn't we be able to diagnose or find some unusual DNA in people's living close to these archaeological sites?
Well, I don't necessarily know that that's true, and there have been some very strange anomalies that have cropped up medically. I'm not a physician, so I'm not one to remark or comment in that regard, but certainly it would depend the degree of penetration, of course, and the degree of difference between us.
Okay, that makes some sense. We're talking to Peter J. Shield, everybody. He is the host of Peter J. Shield's World of Unexplained Mysteries. And Peter, just in the 30 seconds or so that we have left, have you found any evidence of extraterrestrial intervention in ancient construction?
Well, as I say, if anybody gets an opportunity to listen to my lecture on extraterrestrials, you'll see all of the examples that we give, and they are multitude. I mean, far too many to detail to you, but the pyramids are one of the most outstanding and obvious examples to anyone who wants to go to the trouble of doing a little bit of investigation.
I think that that's wonderful. Peter, if people do want to go to your website or do want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, thank you for that, Billy. And the obvious one is pjshield.com to start, but you can go to worldofunexplainedmysteries.com. I have 13 websites active at the moment. One is the Investigation into the Shroud of Turin, which is something we might talk about at a later date. But certainly pjshield.com has links to all the other websites.
That's pjshield, singular, shield.com. Peter, it's been great. Thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy. It was a real pleasure.
It was my pleasure indeed.